I'm the general sales manager at WGCH, and I'm honored to introduce the host of this show, Scott Ventrella, and this is The Business of Living. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Yes, thank you, and welcome to The Business of Living show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. Well, we've got with us today a very special guest, Tanya Walker. Doesn't need a whole lot of introduction, but probably best known, and I know it's dangerous to define people by just, you know, one dimension or one role that they've played in life. But Tanya Walker, of course, best known for One Life to Live and playing that, I've heard it referred to as the resident troublemaker. Now, that's not you. Of course not.
No, I'm not a troublemaker.
Of course not. So listen, so we all play a lot of roles in life. And one of the things that I really wanted to talk about, so we have the professional role. We have, if we're in some kind of a relationship, it could be a role of a husband or a wife or a mom. How about that? So you play, I want to talk a little bit about your role as a mom, because there's something that many women struggle with. I refer to it as the mommy dilemma. So you've got the biological clock ticking. And let's say, the dilemma is, I want to have kids, but I'm really in this incredible career. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give that up on the one hand. On the other hand, I want to be part of raising my kids. Tell us a little bit about your story.
I was 37, and I hadn't gotten married yet. And I'd had many, many relationships during the course of my show business life, which started at 16. So by the time I was in Los Angeles at 19, and by the time I got married, I was 37. During that period of time, there were long relationships, and one in particular was too long. And I've often been known, in my own mind anyway, to stay too long at the fair. I think I stayed too long in daytime even, but it was a wonderful way for me to live. And I thought if I could get a relationship that would work during that period of time, I could bring the kids to work with me like all these other people. And it was just such a perfect job if you could do that. You know, I met people that did that all the time, and I thought, oh gosh, they've got it all, right? Well, that just wasn't the case for me. I wasn't going to have that happen. It just wasn't happening. So I left One Life to Live, and I went on to Los Angeles, and I decided my friends were right. Don't put so much stress on every date, because every date I was interviewing for fatherhood. So I was like, what's your education? What do you do? And it was
And how do you feel about kids?
Yeah. And that doesn't really do a whole lot for that first date, you know? So I decided to adopt, and I got all the adoption papers, and I was done, you know, putting pressure on my dating situation. And then all of a sudden, I met my husband. Now, people say they show up when you're not looking. But when you're 37, you can't, and you want to have children, you're looking. And when people say don't look and they'll show up, you're like, well, I'm so sorry, but I don't know how to do that. So once I decided that I really didn't need to have a husband to have a child, it was fine. And so I guess I wasn't looking, and boom, there he was. And the problem was he was from Ohio.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
That was a problem. It's not the entertainment capital of the world.
Here's the East Coast, West Coast snobbery coming in, right?
I mean, I was okay with East Coast, West Coast.
Anywhere but Ohio.
East Coast, North Coast, I wasn't okay with. And so I thought that when we decided to get married, I really thought that we had established that I would live in New York or Los Angeles. And I guess I hadn't established that. So I gave up my home. I owned a home in Connecticut, and I gave up, you know, working because I wanted to be with my kids. I thought, I'll bang out two right quick. So I did, one right after another, and I thought, okay, I'll go back to work. Well, I was sitting in a restaurant with my husband, and I had just gotten a call from my agent in New York, and I was in Cleveland. And the agent in New York said that Casper Van Dien wanted me to play opposite him in a show called Titans, but I had to go out and audition. This is before I'd had my second child. So I was so excited, and I sat down with Ed at Tony Roma's, I remember, Tony Roma's. And I was saying how excited I was about this opportunity. And he said, how are we going to do that? I said, what do you mean? No one had ever said that to me before. Everybody had always said, oh, wow, that's fantastic. There was never a question about making it work, ever, 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 ever. So there I am, looking this man in the eye, and I'm wanting to strangle him, actually. And in my purse, I had one of those.
That was the Alex coming out in
you. Oh, honey. She, yeah. Yeah. I don't know where she ends and where I stop. Anyway, so I went ahead and went to the bathroom because I had this pregnancy test in my purse. And we were right in the middle of this heated discussion. And I went to the ladies' room and I did the test and I washed my hands and I came back out. I just want everybody to know. And I came back out and I said, you win this one because I'm pregnant. And he was so happy and I was happy, but I was thinking, this is probably going to be a problem for a long time. And it had been. And so I kept trying to work, to answer your question, I kept trying to work while I was in Ohio. I kept trying to work while I was with my babies. I kept trying to work. And I did, but not to the level that I had before.
So how did you handle, so when you had to go out for an audition, meetings, et cetera, who was watching?
I had to get not really a babysitter, more of a nanny person. Mm-hmm. So I hired a young person to be there all the time.
Did that work out okay for
you? It worked out okay. I went through about six of them because I wanted to be with my kids. And so it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. I really did go through six nannies in about 3 years, 4 years. It was really hard because I was home all the time. I think it's easier to have a nanny if you're not home all the time. But I had two babies in diapers. Isabella was 6 months old when I got pregnant with Abriana, so I needed help, but I was home. So I think most nannies would appreciate it more if the mom would just go off to work and leave them home with the baby,
business.
But
That's
I
right.
wasn't going to do that because I waited so long to have them. Now, I did think I was going to be able to do that. I really thought I was going to be able to have my babies one after another and go right back to work and be okay with that. I had waited so long to have children that once I had the children, I couldn't leave them. And I had waited so long that the reason I had been so concerned is because so many actresses, and I guess in other businesses it happens as well, you miss the window. I mean, women have a window in order that you can have children in. They have a window of opportunity, and then it is over, you know, unless you want to do some crazy scientific somebody or others carrying your baby and you do the, you know, there's a window where you can get pregnant and have a baby.
And in 2011, there are many more options today for women than there were back then.
But still, you're not really. You have to be artificially inseminated. You have to be old enough, you know, not too old to actually carry the child to, you know, to the full length of the term and without hurting your health.
And there's the financial consideration.
Yeah.
And it's going it alone.
Yeah, it's true. And then to have another woman carry your baby, I mean, there's all kinds of stories about that. Plus the experience. I wanted the experience. All I can tell you is I had so many friends who said, want to see my babies? And they took a little picture of their doggies. You know, their little Malteses, their
that
little
wasn't
Yorkies.
Be your thing.
That wasn't me. No, I wanted to take a picture of my babies, my real life, honest to God, children, as opposed to my real life, honest to God, pets. That are called babies. And no offense to anybody that loves their pets like children. I love my pets, but not like children. There's a love that you have for a child that you can't experience, at least in my opinion, unless you have one. Because if you don't have one, you don't get this feeling that you would walk in front of a truck for this human being. I mean, there's this enormous amount of love. I mean, it's bigger than any man, love between a man and a woman. It's bigger than any love for a parent even. I mean, there's this love for your kid, you know, that God gives us, and it's a natural feeling. And if you don't have that, if you only have dogs, I'm so sorry, but you're not going to get it. And if you don't care whether you get it or not, then don't have kids, you know. But it was so important to me. So and so was my career. I mean, these were my dreams from my age of three. I knew I was going to be an actress. So it's been very, very hard. And now my kids are old enough, and I finally got my husband to move to the East Coast. We're still in Connecticut. We're not in New York. And we did go to New York for a while, but the finances living there and putting your children in private school there, it's like $30,000 a child.
So when you think back over the years, and yes, they are getting older. Is it? Give me the ages.
12 and 13.
12 and 13. What was the greatest sacrifice and any regrets on the decisions that you've made?
Well, regrets. Yeah, I guess I regret spending my money to help our family. I do. Because we should have downsized a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't. We kept living really, really high on the hog, even though we had, you know, issues come up with my husband's health. And so, you know, it's just not having my own money is really, really hard, not having enough of my own money. And I always wanted to have that. That's why I worked from the time I was 16. I never wanted to hear a man tell me that if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be blah, blah, blah. And I heard that in my house growing up. So I wanted to make sure that I never heard that. And I haven't heard that. But, you know, I need to work, and I like to work. But now it's hard to get back in where you were before. You know, you have to, just like in any other business, you have to make adjustments to what you ask for. Like, I never would do a commercial for scale, ever. I mean, since I was like 18, I haven't done a commercial for scale.
So let me circle back just for a minute, because you bring up a really important point. And I think for, you know, anybody listening that's going through the same decision-making process, let's say earlier on in the decision-making process, that is, okay, do I leave my job to raise my kids? I think one thing many people don't consider is making those adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
We get into spending habits, mm-hmm. and as I think we all know, raising kids becomes adds greater expense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on top of that, if women decide to leave the workforce, now you're losing that income,
mm-hmm.
and unless you're really, you know, get your arms around that, that could create some problems down the road. So I think that's a great point to, the advice would be, I think, to really, you know, take a thorough stock of the financial situation, what the impact will be, and have contingency plans in place.
Well, I think the most important thing, because you don't know what's going to happen, you can't plan for what's going to happen. I wish you could. I mean, none of us thought the economy would be in the toilet like it is today. None of us thought that was going to happen, you know. So none of us thought that our house would be worth less than we owe on it. I mean, way less, like half.
A lot of people in that boat.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I think the most important thing is to practice your plan your reentry strategy.
So actually, we're going to take a break in just a few seconds. That's exactly what I'd like to home in on, because so there's that one side of it, you know, making that decision. And it is a struggle. It is not easy, because a lot of us, that's where we find our identity in our work. And we also find identity, as you so eloquently put it at the beginning of the show, that, you know, with our children and that great love that we feel for our children and the sacrifices that we make for our children. I'm somewhat in a similar situation now that my kids are in high school, one going off to college next year. It doesn't mean we stop parenting, but it does. The dynamics do change, and it does, I think, free up a certain amount of time for us to begin to think about. For those, again, who have left the workplace either completely or partially and now are thinking about that reentry, how do we do that? What do we do that? What are some tips on doing that? So Scott Ventrella with Tanya Walker. We will be back in just a few seconds here at 1490 WGCH.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived on the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar.
but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Connecticut National Guard. Aired by the Connecticut Broadcasters Association and this station.
Business of Living Show, and I'm here with Tanya Walker, and we're talking about the mommy dilemma. Here with Tanya. Tanya, so before the break, we were talking about some of the issues that you faced and many women face in terms of that the big decision, you know, do I leave an incredible career to raise my kids? Now I'd like to focus a little bit on the other side. As you come out the other side, what's going through your mind as you think about reentering the workplace? What kind of work do you think you'd be interested in? Do you continue? Did you try to go back to what you were doing? Do you reinvent yourself? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's the hard part. I mean, obviously, that's the hard part. I am always going to be an actress. I mean, there's just no question about that. But whether I'm a working actress or not is a whole nother story. They just had me back on One Life to Live. And they wrote a story for me, a brand new, honest-to-God, fantastic, full-time story for me. And it was supposed to go to a cable station and the web at the same time, or one or the other. But it was going to continue. One Life was going to continue through this company called Prospect Park. And they decided the day before Thanksgiving to what's called suspend their decision to keep the shows alive. So it's not just ours, it's also all my children. Well, that stinks. So there's this huge campaign to help them find more money so that they will continue with the show. They pointed out recently throughout online and all kinds of media that they used the word suspension as opposed to completely stop their idea of doing it. They just suspended their efforts. They didn't completely stop their efforts, which I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
Well, it sounds like some kind of a secret code.
I know. I don't know what that means. So I think it's because I started something online and other people had done it before me with other types of things. I just put a little thing on one of my pages and I just said, would you be willing to pay a small fee, like $5 or $10 a month, to see One Life to Live and One Life to Live and all my children? Oh, my God, I feel like I'm back in New York. How exciting. I hate that sound, but now it makes me feel at home. Isn't that terrible? So that was the point, is people, in 1 week I had 2,000 people that said that they would pay $5 to $10 a month. That's 2,000 people is not enough. But there's 4,000 on another page and 3,000 on another page, and you know, and they all are saying, you know, thank you, Tanya, for helping us make this happen. My problem is I was afraid that maybe I was wasting their time and mine. Mm-hmm. So I called Frank Valentini, who's the One Life to Live executive producer, and I point blank asked him, because he was supposed to get the job at Prospect Park as the president of the programming. And now he's going to be the executive producer of General Hospital. So they killed me on that show, so I have to bring me back to someone else.
It's been done before.
It's been done before, yeah. But he said that I should continue my efforts because there are still people trying to figure out how to make this work. So that's what I'm doing.
So you've got an iron in the fire, and my experience tells me that we need a lot of irons in the fire. So
right, yeah.
And I mean, you've done so many things. You do so many things.
I don't like doing so many things.
You don't
Steve.
Like doing
no.
So many,
the reason I'm doing so many things is because I don't make enough money doing any one particular thing. I made a lot of money making a movie called The Derby Stallion, which, for everyone out there that's listening, it would be a wonderful family film gift present for somebody at Christmas time. You can order it online or at Walmart or anywhere else. But it's called The Derby Stallion, and it starred Zac Efron. I found Zac Efron. I discovered Zac Efron. He was on a little show called Summerland, and I put him in my movie, and it made it very successful. But Bill Cobbs was in the film. I was in the film. My kids were in the film. It's a really good family movie, honestly. And I won all kinds of awards for it. And it was very profitable. And it was profitable before Zach got popular. So it got even more profitable after Zach got popular. So I have a script for Derby Stallion 2. This time I don't want to finance it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to find the financing for that. So there's that. Then there's my radio show. And my radio station got sold. I was on a Cox station. And now people want me to pay to be on the radio. I don't want to pay to work. I think that's stupid. So I'm not going to do that. You know?
Don't worry. There's no charge for today.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And so, I'm trying to sell my movie.
So you're looking really, and I
produce, and I do radio, and I teach, and I'm writing a book. Called Life After One Life, My Real Life Soap Opera. And the reason you have to do all these different things is because at my age, you have to put out all these different things to see what will blossom, you know?
So really. I agree with that. Here's the coach coming out in me. This is unsolicited advice here.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are good, but sometimes we can have so many things going on that we're not maybe focused enough.
And
what I found in life is
That's true. For instance,
when I published my first book, people were saying, well, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And there's never a great time to do it. There's always so many things going on. So I finally made a commitment, and I put out a schedule. And, of course, there was the financial needs that I had as well. But I figured if ever there's a time, now is the time. My point is, I completely agree. You don't want to be so narrowly focused that you're missing out on other opportunities, but you want to pick the one, two, or the top three things that you believe not only fulfills you as a woman, as a professional, but also something that can be monetized, right? Isn't that the perfect combination?
Of course.
So anyway, that's some unsolicited advice to be a little bit more focused and to really whatever that one thing is or those two things that you really need to put where there needs to be an intensity of focus. That's probably what you want to look at.
That's always been my problem since I decided to go back to work, and I appreciate your advice. The problem is most of the things I do depend on other people to do something too, you know. And I hate that. You know, you can't act unless someone hires you, right? Mm-hmm. You can't really publish a book unless someone wants to publish it. I do have an online publisher who wants to publish my book, thank God, you know. So that's probably the thing I should be focusing on the most. But we all have to try to find, you know, and reinvention. I mean, I'm taking a real estate class. Because what I'd really like to do is go into politics. So that's what I'd really, really like to do. And so I'm trying to find a way in the door, and I think that's going to help me get in the door.
And we need people in government that can talk straight.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And that was the name, of course, of your show.
Straight Talk Live.
Straight Talk. So one thing that I wanted to mention, and I think this is for all the people who have made sacrifices for mm-hmm. their kids, because in my view, that is the most important calling that we have in life. And I'm speaking as a dad, as a man.
That's wonderful.
I don't think it's the same kind of sacrifice a woman might make. Again, with that strong urge, and I teach at several different universities at the graduate level. Many women are struggling with this right now because I teach at Fordham University at the business school. And I've been doing it for about 17 or 18 years. And there's so many women that are struggling with this. In fact, the census recently showed that 54% of educated women are leaving the workplace to raise their kids. This is very important to them. But I was thinking about this, and I've got a book here. It's called The Prophet by Khalil Gibran.
I love that book.
Oh, this is fantastic. It's excellent reading. And of course, it was written back in the 19th century, published in the early 20th century.
It's a classic.
But I want to talk, because as I was thinking about this show, I was thinking about the importance that we all make sacrifices, but especially for the woman who makes that hard choice. You know, you're walking away from a great career, from a certain amount of financial stability, but we're doing it for a sacrifice, which is a selfless act. And so I'm going to read just a short passage here in The Prophet, and this is about giving, because when we sacrifice, we're giving. And so it goes like this. Then said a rich man, speak to us of giving. And he answered, you give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. And that's only a short passage, but mm-hmm. I thought that was just so, so beautiful and so apropos based on the relative to the discussion we've been having. One other thing that I wanted to just touch on, and I'd appreciate your views, is, and this is not a religious show, but whenever I'm even in business, because I do a lot of corporate type coaching and counseling, if someone brings up the idea of faith. Or if I'm familiar with their background, I can't help but not ask, okay, well, where does that all fit? In other words, your faith, and where does that fit in the mix? Because I think also as we're looking for solutions, strategies, ways to get through whatever storm we might be going through or the dilemma or our particular situation, how does that play out in your own life? I know this is a personal question. You don't have to answer it, but I'm sure our listeners would benefit by your view.
Well, there are prayers that I say that are very positive. I can do all things through God who strengthens me, through Christ who strengthens me. God is with me. God is helping me. God is guiding me. I say that to myself all the time. That came out of a book you gave me by Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. And it's about having confidence. And it's a struggle, I think, to have confidence because your brain tells you all the time, especially as you get older, you know, you've been replaced. You're not what you used to be, you know. So you have to say to yourself, no, I'm better than I used to be. And God is with me. God is helping me. God is guiding me. And when you have five different careers like I do, you know, there is a part in the Bible that talks about putting out a fleece. I don't know if you are familiar with that story or not. But there's a part of the Bible, there's a story about, I don't remember who it is and what number it is.
That's okay.
That.
We're not.
But you put out a fleece and you have to be really sincere and you ask God, you know, I'm going to put this out there, and if this happens, I'm going to think that you're saying X, and if this happens, I'm going to think that you're saying Y. And every time I've said, okay, I'm going to give up television, I'm going to give up my career, if something doesn't happen by such and such, something has always happened by such and such, always. My mother used to say, all you have to do is go on a vacation and you get a job, because that used to happen. I used to fly to mom's, and then I'd get a job in California. So, but you have to really pray and believe that you are being guided and that you'll have the strength to do it.
So faith works if you work your faith.
Amen.
Tanya Walker, thank you so much. And I wish you we're still a week or more away from Christmas, but thank you so much. And I hope we can have you back on the show.
I'd love
soon.
It. You're wonderful.
Well, thank you.
You have to be on my show.
Hey, listen, next week, sandwiched in between Hanukkah and Christmas, we're going to have a special guest, Rabbi Brian Lichen, and we're just going to have a chat about holidays, that's with a Z, holidays or holy days, which is it for you? 'Tis the season. This is Scott Ventrella, The Business of Living. Join us again next week on 1490 WGCH.
The voice.